Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was young, I used to play a little basketball, baseball, and soccer, and I had coaches, good coaches, and as a lot of young boys probably learned, a mantra, and maybe girls in other sports and other things that they did too, never give up, never give up, never give up, we were taught. Then as I got older, I adopted a more sensible philosophy, that of W.C. Fields. If at first you don't succeed, try again, then quit. No use being a blank fool about it. You might know the quote, fill in the blank. It may be funny, sensible humor, and practical, but it's not godly wisdom when it comes to one particular subject that we heard about in our readings today, prayer. Godly wisdom about prayer is what we hear in our readings about how God would have us regard prayer and gives us examples of persistence. Even the weaker and the disadvantaged person can get justice and blessings by not losing heart and by being persistent in prayer. So God wants me to be more like my younger self than my older self when it comes to prayer. Never give up. Never give in. Yet do we give up in prayer? Do we lose heart? Do our prayers wane when it seems God isn't answering us? Yes. So Jesus today, he'll shame us, our old Adam at least. He'll correct us, again, our old Adam. And he'll comfort and encourage us, our new Adam, by reminding us of the persistent widow and of Jacob, as we heard in our readings. First, the persistent widow. What did she do? She kept bothering that unrighteous judge who neither respected God nor respected man. She kept bothering him. Give me justice for my adversary. Imagine him every night coming home and seeing that widow there. Remember me? Remember me? Give me justice. Give me justice. I want my justice. I want my justice. Yeah. You could imagine this persistent widow just being so persistent, wanting justice in the court from this judge. Finally, what does the judge do? He says, fine, here, have your justice. At first, he refused for a while, but eventually, he finally gives in. Why? Because it's the right thing to do? No, but because he wants to get this lady off his back. Quit beating me down. Fine, have your justice. Have it your way. And so we see an example where persistence paid off. And Jesus' point, how much more will God, who's not an unrighteous judge, who's a righteous judge, give justice to his elect, who call to him night and day, day and night? Will God not give justice to them speedily? Will he long delay over them? And a question, who is God's elect? Remember, this is a Lutheran church, not a Calvinist church. Who is God's elect? You are. You're God's elect. How do you know? Have you been baptized? Yes. You're God's elect. Do you know about the cross and the open tomb? Yes. You're God's elect. Do you know about the Lord's Supper and the forgiveness of sins that we receive here by the word and by the bread and the wine? Yes. You're God's elect. No need to doubt. No need to question. You're God's elect. And how much more will God give justice to God's elect speedily? How about consider Jacob in the Old Testament? Wrestled all night with a man who turns out to be God. Wouldn't give up until God would bless him. His hip was put out of joint. Oh, the pain! It didn't stop him. This disadvantaged widow and this disadvantaged Jacob, for after all, he was at a disadvantage, wasn't he? He was wrestling with God. And the persistent widow was wrestling, if you will, with some unrighteous judge who had more power than she did. They're both disadvantaged. They were both persistent in their posture toward the one who has power to grant justice and to bless and to make things good and declare Jacob to be a prince of God, Israel. To be a prince, you've got to be part of the royal family, don't you? To be a prince, you have to be of royalty. You'd be a son, if you will, of a king. And nothing can take that away, not even death. Sometimes we give up before we even start. Sometimes we think that God's no is God's once and for all no, and we fail to remember that behind God's apparent no, there's always a yes. Are we willing to wait for it? Is our faith evident to God by our prayers? Any indication of our willingness to wait for a yes, even in the face of a no, no, no? For example, and most importantly, is there life after death? Do we pray about that? Do we come to church just for fun on Easter to celebrate the resurrection just because it's a good theme for the day? Or is that why we're all here today? Because we know we're all going to die, right? The wages of sin is death. But we gathered here, why? Because we're persistent on God's promise. Oh, you raised Jesus from the dead. You promised you'll raise me from the dead too. That's why we gather. That's why we pray, is it not? Persistence. Will it pay off? Our faithfulness to God's promise by our church coming and by our daily prayers, despite many trials and temptations and changes in this life, is something that God values, as witnessed by Jesus' final question in the gospel today. He says, when the Son of Man returns, when he comes, will he find faith on earth? Dear friends, sometimes it does seem like there's no justice in this world. No matter how hard or how long we pray, I've been there, I know. Maybe we are looking for justice through our own lenses rather than God's lens. Remember, God has already granted justice to this world, to this rebellious, sinful world. God has granted justice. How? God sent his Son, Jesus, to pay for the sins of the whole world. For your sins. For my sins. For the sins of everyone. Even the unbelievers. He paid for those sins. Should they repent and believe, they'd have it, right? There is justice in this world. God sent Jesus. Mishpat, justice, happened on the cross. There, everything was atoned for. Justice is secure. Do we believe it? Do we pray about it? Or do we sit around and go, where's my justice? I've been wronged. God, do something about it. Fix this. Fix this. God's really delaying. I'm not getting any justice here. Where's my justice? Where is it? At those times, dear friends, it's time for us as God's people to stop looking at justice through our lenses. Look at God's lens. Look through his lenses. There's your justice. There it is. It's come speedily, so fast it came before you were alive. Justice is yours. You ever doubt? Yes. Look again to the cross. Look again to the open tomb. You'll find justice speedily. It's been atoned for. And now you can walk through this whole life, through trials and temptations, suffering losses. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, they have but nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Though these all be gone, we have justice. Then maybe our question will become in this world, not where's my justice, but where's the injustice? Think on these things. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.